Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 1. And we would like to again thank Town East Baptist for your part in our ministry over the years. And we are very grateful for your faithfulness, both in prayers as well as financial support. And I'd also like to say thank you on behalf of our son Jonathan. I know that he appreciates that as well. Luke chapter 1. It's a very familiar story. I won't take a lot of time to elaborate it. It's about Zechariah and Elizabeth not being able to have a child. Gabriel appears to Zechariah and tells him that he's going to have a baby boy and his name is to be called John. But Zechariah doesn't really believe it and he's left speechless, literally, until the baby's born. He can't speak. And when the baby's finally born, the family wants to put Zacharias as his name. And he calls for a tablet, not an iPad or an Android, but a writing tablet. And he puts on there, his name is John. And when he does that, the Holy Spirit allows him to speak again. And he begins to prophesy regarding his son that we know now as John the Baptist. And I'd like to begin reading in Luke chapter 1, verse 76. It says, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." John was known as the forerunner of Christ. And what I'd like to speak to you about tonight for just a few moments is some parallels in our lives. Not in the same sense as John, obviously, because there was only one forerunner of Christ and there was only one Messiah that came to earth, Jesus Christ. But we as forerunners in the lives of other people for Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll look at a few points, and then we'll be finished. Lord, I pray that you would bless our time together. Help me to use the time wisely. Help me to communicate these truths, Lord, in a way that will impact our hearts and our lives, that we might be better servants for you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing we can see here is found in verse 76, when Zechariah says, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." Here we see there's a preparation to prepare his ways. And I see this as intercession. The Bible speaks much of intercession. In the Old Testament, we see Aaron interceding on behalf of the nation of Israel. We see Moses interceding on behalf of the nation of Israel. And in many situations, we see there's an intercession. And intercession speaks of us going before the face of the Lord in prayer for others. The sad part of it is that there's also verses in the Old Testament, such as Ezekiel 22:30. We won't take time to look there. But the Bible says that he's looking for someone to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before him for the land, that he should not destroy it, but he found none. And my question for you tonight is, are you interceding for anyone? There are people that only you know. You may be the only Christian that some people know. Are you interceding for them? Are you preparing the way? If we look at the parable of the sower, there's four different types of ground. There's by the wayside, there's stony ground, there's among the thorns and the thistles, and the rocky ground, I repeated that one. And then there's the fertile soil. And we would all like for the seed to fall in fertile soil. But if any of you are farmers, you know that you have to prepare the soil for it to be fertile soil. And that is intercession. So there has to be a preparation. The second thing we see is in verse 77. It says, "To give knowledge of salvation unto his people." This speaks of evangelism. This speaks of testifying. We all know the verses of the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15, and Acts 1, 8. But in Romans 10, the Bible says, and how shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? And then it says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, it's our responsibility to take the gospel to those who are in Peru, but who's going to take the gospel to those here in San Antonio? That's your responsibility. It's not just Brother Rigg's responsibility. It's every Christian's responsibility. Those of you who knew my father-in-law, Brother Milton Martin, he said many times, the call to stay must be as strong as the call to go. And many times people have asked me, well, how do you know the will of the Lord for your life? And I've told young people as well as middle-aged and older people, God can't steer a parked car. You have to get moving for the Lord. And if you're going in the wrong direction, once you're moving, God can steer you to where He wants you. We went to Guatemala 32, 33 years ago with the purpose of staying 1 year. We were there 27 years. I had already resigned to the fact that, well, I'm probably going to die here. I figured we were there until the Lord came back or we died serving the Lord in Guatemala. But then God changed our direction and now we're in Peru. When you're moving for the Lord, He can steer your life. Are you proclaiming the gospel to others? Are you sharing? And then in verse 79, it says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. That is the presentation. You can proclaim it, but you also have to take it to where they're at. And that speaks to me of missions. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then he turns around in Matthew 5 and says, ye are the light of the world. How can that be? Because Colossians 1:27 says that Christ in us is the hope of glory. David Lott has nothing to offer anybody in and of myself. But with Christ in my heart, I have everything to offer everybody. And if you're a Christian, you do too. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, though, says that Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not. If our gospel be hid, verse 3 says, it's hid to them that are lost. Because the God of this world has their eyes blinded so that they cannot see the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. One of the greatest things you can do, and I think one of the most effective things you can do, is to share your personal testimony. I have heard people who have had tremendous testimonies by us human standards that they were in. There's a man I know in Guatemala. He was in a gang, the Salvatruchas, before he got saved. He got saved. He got into it's another Baptist church, another missionary started, but he got into that church. He got active. He became eventually became a deacon. He went into the Bible Institute. He became a pastor, and today he's not only a pastor, but he travels to other countries as an evangelist. Tremendous testimony. You know what mine is? I was born in a Christian home. I made a profession of faith at the age of 7. I lived a good Christian life. I didn't smoke, drink, cuss, or chew, or run around with girls that do. But at the age of 18, I realized I really wasn't saved. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. And you see, a lot of times we think our testimony isn't that impactful. But you know what? Somebody is living a life very similar to what you lived, and they need to hear your story. And even if their life isn't similar to yours, your story can still have an impact on their lives. That's the presentation. Turn back to Luke real hurriedly. We're finishing up now. Luke chapter 1, verse 79. The last part of the verse says, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And that speaks to me of discipleship. You know, one of the tremendous, Jesus said in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. And as I have a master's degree in biblical counseling, and I've counseled a lot of people over the years, and so many people, both Christians and lost people, say, I just want peace in my life. And see, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 talks about having peace with God. Whenever a person comes to trust Christ as their Savior, they're no longer enemies of God. They have peace with God. But so many, even Christians today, don't have the peace of God. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean be careless for everything. That means be not anxious. Don't be worrisome. Don't overly worry about anything. But it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You're to take it to the Lord in prayer. What we do is we bring our, oh my goodness, we bring our cares and concerns. It could be health problems. It could be financial problems. It could be marital problems, problems with our kids. Could be any number of things. We bring it and we say, Lord, I got this situation. I just want to leave it with you in Jesus' name. And when we get finished, we put it in our pocket and walk off. Instead of leaving it with Him. And as a result, we don't have peace in our life. But look what happens if we do what the Bible says and we leave it with Him. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Do you have peace in your heart? Do you have the peace of God? There was a preparation, a proclamation, a presentation, and the peace. But turn with me back to Luke right quick. And we'll finish with this. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Christ. These were things that he was called to do. But before he became a forerunner of Christ, something else had to happen. Look at verse 80. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts until the day of his showing unto Israel. First he grew. That's personal and spiritual growth. Then the Bible says that he waxed strong. That is learning to trust his heavenly Father. That's spiritual strength. How did he get that? Keep reading. And he was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. He spent time alone with God. And when you do that, then you can be an effective forerunner of Christ in the lives of other people. Are you being a forerunner of Christ in the life of someone else? The title of my message, if I were to put a title, is Where Are the John the Baptists of Today? Now, as I said, John was a unique person in many different aspects. He was kind of a strange cookie. But he was the forerunner for the Messiah. And you and I as Christians are forerunners for the Messiah in the lives of the people we know. And we need to be effective in the ministry God has given us to do. Let's all stand, please.